and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Secretary of State leads a U.S. delegation for talks with Russia on Ukraine and Saudi Arabia. CBS's Lane Cobb says in Paris,
European leaders are meeting to hammer out a way forward, furious that President Trump arranged talks with Russia that exclude them and Ukraine.
North Texas is about to get its coldest temperatures of the winter. Governor Greg Abbott.
Some wind chills may be as low as zero or even minus zero.
It's now 11 people dead after torrential downpours and weekend flooding in Kentucky, where there is a state of emergency. The president's cost cutter is hitting many government agencies, including the CDC and other health workers. Illinois Democrat Dick Durbin.
They want to cut back on medical research in America. For God's sake, for what? For tax breaks for the wealthy.
Pope Francis remains hospitalized with a respiratory infection. The Vatican says protocols are changing and he'll remain hospitalized for the time being. CBS News Brief, I'm Peter King.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A Northeast Wisconsin representative is supporting legislation that will allow clerks and election officials to process absentee ballots the day before the election. Lisa Hale has more.
Ahmad Rivera Wagner of Green Bay said the bill attempts to make things easier and faster on Election Day.
I am very hopeful that there is bipartisan support for clerks to process absentee ballots, process, not count them early, which will take hours off of central count processes, allowing us to have early nights on Election Day versus them being late in the morning because of the amount of both Republicans and Democrats voting absentee ballot now.
Rivera Wagner said it can take over 4 hours just to open envelopes containing absentee ballots, which leads to long nights and late returns.
Tariffs and trade disputes can affect us in many ways here in Wisconsin. Here's Brittany Merlot.
First off, several steel shipments arrive at the port of Milwaukee, which are destined for Wisconsin businesses. The new steel tariff will increase costs on these businesses by 25%. We are also a significant exporter of soybeans. Retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. exports could negatively affect our soybean farmers. And the state still exports over $10 billion in manufactured goods. These producers are doubly hit as they will face the steel tariffs as well as the retaliatory export tariffs. The Libertarian Party of Wisconsin believes that free trade is fair trade and that trade wars only hurt consumers.
There will be a listening session on Friday in Wisconsin Rapids with local representatives. Senator Patrick Teston and Representative Scott Krug will be at McMillan Library on February 21st from noon to 1. At 2 p.m., Representative Krug will be at the Rome Town Hall. The following Friday, he will be in Adams and Nisida. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Badgers face the Fighting Illini. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers host Illinois tomorrow night at the Kohl Center. Game time 7:30. Wisconsin coming off that big win at number 7th ranked Purdue, 94-84 over the weekend. Marquette will be at home tomorrow night when they host Seton Hall. NBA, the Bucks return to action Thursday night when they take on the Clippers in Milwaukee. The Badgers men's hockey team in a slump. They lost to number 8th ranked Ohio State in Columbus 4-2. Wisconsin has now lost 6 in a row. Associate head coach Todd Knott asked why the team hasn't been able to score more than 2 goals a game so far this month.
I wish I had a better answer for you on that one. I don't. And disappointing, especially with us getting good crowd showing up right now. I know our guys are extremely disappointed in the results over the weekend, but when you talk about Ohio State, Penn State, and they had some snarl to them, so give them credit. I thought they played very well.
That's Badgers hockey coach Todd Knott with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sunny and brutally cold, with high temperatures today trying to reach the single digits and wind chills smacking us back, making us really feel about 20 degrees colder. And by tonight, it's going to be feeling about 30 below. And the frigid cold continues to have a grip on us through tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's zero at our studios.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Northeast Wisconsin hip-hop artist and musician Matt Harper joins me in studio. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Sam Davidson. I had to stop. It's such a habit to say Zomers. Sam Davidson on the board in for an ailing Mr. Zomers today. 6 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome to hour number two of the big program. It is Monday, February 17th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along. Sam, thank you for coming in on this President's Day. Technically, I found out today, a company holiday, but yet here you are being brought in to pitch hit for... the Zomers problem is that he went out and he partied too much over Valentine's.
I mean, I don't blame him. Happens to the best of us.
Happens? No. He just, it's that time of year.
Cold and flu season.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's just taking a little R&R. We're happy that he could do that. And very thankful and happy you could fill in. So thanks, sir. Two shows in a row, Sam was with us on Valentine's, and now he's back today. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Great to be here.
Great to have you along. Going to be a fun show a little bit later. Going to continue to at least talk a little bit about this state Supreme Court part. Well, that too. State Supreme Court race, the general election for that coming up in April. But more importantly, or at least closer to importance in terms of a timeline, tomorrow we have the spring primary election for the Department of Public Instruction. We'll continue to talk about that a little bit. Don't forget, you can register at the polls. You do have to have a valid ID, photo ID, which means a driver's license, a valid one, a state ID, a state card, which is you get a DMV, but you can't drive with it legally anyway. Or you can have a U.S. passport or a U.S. Military ID. And then always smart to bring along a recent utility bill. And FYI, if you're not an older dude like me, you can do it on your phone. So I think, I got to bring my paper U.S. cellular bill or MG&E bill. No. If you have that, so if you have an electronic phone bill or you can show your electronic bill for your utility or something on your phone, you can use that as well. And you can register same day at the polls, be a voter, have a plan to be a voter. If you don't know where to vote, maybe you're new to your neighborhood, go to myvote.gov, find out where to vote. Polls open tomorrow at 7 a.m., close at 8 p.m., and then join us tomorrow evening right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Myself, along with Dan Schaefer, Earl Ingram, and a cast of thousands, as we bring you Tony Evers' budget address just before 7 o'clock, and then stick around after the polls close. We'll bring you Wisconsin Decides 2025, the election results tomorrow night. Dr. Jill Underley and Jeff Wright, the two Democrats on the ticket, and Brittany Kinzer, the Republican or conservative. It's technically a nonpartisan race, but last 20 years or so, these have become partisan races. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. Also, Michael Steele, former Republican National Committee chairman, has some advice for Democrats. There's a day of protest on this President's Day. Many people have the day off. People are showing up. We saw earlier some folks. I've not seen a big crowd. We're about a block away from the state capitol, and we can't see directly up State Street here. Well, you know what? We have the Sam Davidson. I call it. You know this? I call it the Sam Davidson Street Cam because you set this up.
So
we should check out the Sam Davidson Street Cam, which is facing out on State Street at the intersection of State Street and Fairchild. Always fun to check and find out what's happening downtown Madison. Oh, wait a minute.
It's not well adjusted right now.
Hang on. You talk. It sounds a lot like my dating life. Not well adjusted. Right? You talk for a second, Sam. I'm gonna go over here.
Take a look out on the road here as Todd moves the camera down to point at the street. Instead, it's correct now. You can see the road. Yeah. Thank you, Todd. That's good. Yes.
All right. For those watching, yeah, that's not bad. There you go. So there's one. Well, those watching on the YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, whatnot, you can see there are some hardy souls. I don't think we can say the word. They're pink kitty hats that they're wearing there as they cross the cross. That's what they call them, though.
Kitty hats is one way to say it. Yeah.
Well, because I'm trying to keep us on the air.
You're right.
But those who wear them call them something else because it pertains to what Donald Trump said about women grabbing them by the kitty, and so they made these pink kitty hats. And I'm using the proper the word that I can use on the air. And so you saw some of those people walking there. So I'm assuming they were protesting, but not huge crowds. Maybe the cold weather is keeping people away a little bit, but there is a crowd here. So we encourage people to exercise your First Amendment right. Do so peacefully. Don't be destructive, certainly, or vandalizing, but demonstrate your rights. A lot of people say, look, we're not going to just stay here silent. And so we have protests happening all over the country today on this President's Day. So we'll see what Michael Steele, former Republican chair, says the Democrats should be doing. And we're also going to have from David Brooks, former conservative as well, on the purge happening over the weekend. And we're going to take a look at the big Wisconsin basketball game over the weekend as they beat Purdue. Huge game. New Associated Press poll out moments ago. Wisconsin just a bit outside, to use a Euchre phrase, the top 10. They are now at the number 11 spot in the Associated Press. They will take on Illinois tomorrow at the Kohl Center. And you can hear that game across many of the Civic Media stations. You can also hear it for free on the Civic Media app. So all of that. But right now, Sam, 12 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go.
The choice is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you
time
can
once
get
again
that.
For What's Worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but it is your opportunity to be heard on statewide radio all across the state of Wisconsin. 11 stations. No better way to get your message out in all major media markets than right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, this is timely, Sam. Timely indeed, as Mike Lucas likes to say. We were talking about you're a very nice guy. You're a romantic dude. You celebrated your girlfriend the week before Valentine's because you were going to be out of town. And we talked about this. Now, are you one to give a kiss, to hold hands to your girlfriend in a public place? You said, yeah, maybe we do that.
Yeah.
But now it's called PDA, public displays of affection. I guess that's one of them. But some people take it a little too far.
A little too far. Yeah.
Do you remember? Go ahead.
I first ran into this when I was in high school, and PDA was banned.
Really?
Because, yeah. You were not allowed to like hold hands or kiss your boyfriend or girlfriend if you had one.
Really?
Yeah, you couldn't do that.
Not at all.
Not really.
Now, see, I think that's a little too far. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's wrong with a peck on the cheek or holding hands at lunch or whatever like that? But then I remember last year. I think it was last year at the Wisconsin State Fair in where they show the cattle and the horses up in the corner. There was this couple going at it like mink. I mean, they were just, I mean, really, I'm not making this up. Remember that?
I didn't hear about this story. I mean,
I couldn't get enough of
it. Good for them, I guess?
I couldn't get enough. It was this man and woman, and they were going, and it was like broad daylight, and like the security had to come over, and you know, I think they got talked to and maybe got, you know, a little time downtown. But that's an extreme version of public displays of affection. So today's what's worse, public displays of affection or public disagreements? What's worse, public displays of affection or public disagreements? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Public displays of affection or, now, like I say, public disagreements, where have you seen that where a couple, they're getting in, and it's not just like, what's the matter with you? I mean, they're going at it, and that gets very uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, I definitely think that public disagreements are worse, especially if it's like a couple or family or something like that. Because like you said, it makes me uncomfortable. If it's just two random people like kind of arguing with each other, it makes me less uncomfortable. Public displays of affection, yeah, I don't necessarily want to see two people making out on a park bench, but I guess if they're not having a problem with it, then more power to them.
Because you can probably, most times, unless you're like at a Brewers game or something like that, and the couple in front of you is just, what is this from a movie? Suck face? You know, where they're just inhaling each other like Hoovers on the lips. I mean, you know, I mean, have you seen that? I mean, some couples, I'm usually after a couple of beverages, but they're sitting there like at my AmFam Park, and it's like, look, you paid money to come see the game. I mean, you know, can't you wait till after the game? I mean, that's a fine way to pass time in your car, sitting in the parking lot, but probably not the best thing when you got kids there trying to watch the, or I guess maybe it is, I'm not sure. But anyway, public displays of affection or public disagreements, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Give us a call. Sam will answer your calls. We'll put you on the air. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Always glad to have you along on the app there. Give us your opinions, because I think these arguments, again, it can get where it gets out of hand for me. And it's not really the same thing. I've talked about this before. Years ago, I was at a Badger game, and the winter, like a November game, and the evil Nebraska Cornhuskers were in town getting their posteriors whooped. And it was that game, I think it was a big Melvin Gordon game where he got like, you know, a big record. And it was snowing, and the Huskers were up by like 3 touchdowns and were cocky. And these two yahoos in front of us were drunk, and they stood up the entire game, and we were not in the student section. And I had my godson with me, who I guess he was in high school at the time, so not like he had heard stuff. But these guys were just dropping F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb, and it just got to be – and I said, guys, can you just sit down? You know, look, you're ahead. And they got militant. Other people, like, called ushers, and finally they were – they weren't really removed, but they just got taken away. I mean, that's not really an argument, I guess, but I just think that's uncalled for. There's just no reason for that kind of behavior in public, in my opinion. Now, my mom, my family will tell you another story on Todd. When we went to see the Rose Bowl, this would have been 2011, 2012, I guess. And I won't tell the whole story. Suffice it to say, I had not eaten a proper breakfast before the Rose Parade. And I had a couple of gin and tonics the first thing when we got to the Rose Bowl to watch the Badgers. And I got a little mouthy. I'm not going to lie about that. I got a little mouthy. And I was saying snarky things to the Oregon marching band, which I probably shouldn't have said. But I don't think I wasn't being argumentative necessarily. Public displays of affection or public disagreements? What's worse? 855-752-4842. Back on the other side. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Better begins with the way we live life together, the way we help each other, and the way we inspire and encourage one another. At Aspirus Health, better begins with our dedication to providing expert care that improves lives, establishing healthy families and healthy communities, yours and ours, for a lifetime. Life is a journey, and we're here for you. Better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created? More than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Monday, February 17th, 2025. Mr. Sam Davidson filling in the producer extraordinaire chair for Mr. Zomers, who is out today doing a great job as always. Sam and I discussing the pertinent questions of the day. What's worse? Right in the middle of what's worse for today. This is after Valentine's weekend. What's worse, public displays of affection or public disagreements? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse, public displays of affection or public disagreements? Tom, LA Tom watching on YouTube says, public displays of affection. He says, I think public displays of affection shows an immaturity in people. When I see two people arguing, I want to find out what the debate is so I can jump in. But do you really, LA Tom? I mean, what if it's like, I told you to pick up the lettuce before we left. Now, how are we going to have tacos? I told you to pick up the lettuce. Why do you never want to go grocery shopping? Oh, this isn't about me. This is about you. I mean, that I don't want any part of that, Sam. I want no part of that kind of argument at all.
It's sometimes fun to watch when it's a stupid issue like that.
Oh, sure. And some of those big arguments are over stupid stuff like lettuce.
Right.
But it just blows out of proportion. But yeah, I get it, LA. If it's a political discussion, fine. But I'm talking about these large, uncomfortable displays large, uncomfortable public disagreements where a couple of, or two people are just going at it.
What about a public breakup?
Oh, have you seen those?
I don't know if I have, but that'd be very awkward to witness.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially like not like a mile like where people are crying or where that's okay, fine. But I mean, yes, like where you get an argument and like, you know, I'm done with you. We're done.
Yeah.
We're not done until I say you're done. No, ooh, we're done. I mean, that kind of thing. No.
Yeah.
What's worse, public displays of affection or public disagreements? John, watching on YouTube, says, what the hell, Todd? Did something happen with lettuce? No, I'm just giving you an example of where it's a simple thing, like I forgot to pick up the lettuce, and then, you know, two people getting in some big argument, and it's really not about the lettuce, of course, but it's some small thing like that that just goes crazy. All right, Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor and friend. Sam, could you click on that one? Because I can't see that one. Jeff Perry on Facebook says, worse are public arguments. PDA rarely devolves into gunplay. Well, that's a good point as well, right?
Very true, yeah. Like, think of the people who pull out a gun during road rage. That's crazy.
I talked about this on this show, I think it was in the fall when this happened. I witnessed this at Madison. Where the people in front, they were playing like one guy wasn't going fast enough, so he honked, and then the guy slowed down intentionally in front of him, and then they were playing like they were flipping each other off and honking and yelling. And so at one point the guy in front kind of like slammed on his brakes and the guy tailgated him, smashed him, and they both got out and it was fisticuffs were on.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah. And then there was an ambulance nearby. Uh-huh. Who saw this, and they started calling it in. I dialed 911 because I thought there was going to be a gun any moment. And so then the guy who got hit, mm-hmm. the guy that hit him, he takes off. So I follow him. Seriously.
Yeah, until you're on the phone with the cops. Yeah,
and then the cops finally got him.
Oh, wow.
Now,
where was that at?
East Washington.
Jeez, wow.
Yeah, just
downtown.
Just this side of... East Town Mall, and it ended like down by the Capitol. It was quite an afternoon, huh. Sam. I mean, in my life, that constitutes excitement. What's worse, public displays of affection or public disagreements? 855-752-4842. Fred, listening on WMDX in Cottage Grove. Fred, what's worse, public displays of affection or public disagreements?
Have you folks been following the hockey tournaments between Canada and the United States?
Yes, I haven't even got to that. Go ahead.
Well, what's worse is, man, they're beating up on each other for what? For why?
I know.
Sports is supposed to be to bring people together.
So the quick version to catch people up, the two national teams competed in this tournament over the weekend in Canada. The Canadians started booing when the national anthem of the United States was played, and apparently the Canadian hockey players had given talking smack. And so at the face-off, the initial face-off of the game, the puck was dropped, and both the Canadian and American guy take off the gloves, and it's a boxing match right at the center ice. And this happens three times during the match.
Yeah.
The United States
exactly
went on to win like 3-1.
15 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy.
Well, guys, stay warm.
All right. Thanks, Fred. I appreciate it. As they say, I went to a boxing match and ice hockey broke out. But I mean, that was just over the top. And thank you, Fred, for bringing that one up. What else we got here off the text line? John says, on YouTube, can you click on that one there? Once I was on East Washington and saw some road rage happen, and this other guy who was watching it happen too started following me as I left the scene. He says the jackass thought I had something to do with it. That is hilarious. Well written, John, Jed, John, whoever that is. That's hilarious. Tony, watching on YouTube, says he watched the U.S.-Canadian hockey game, said it was a fantastic hockey game. I didn't watch it. I saw the fight highlights. I get it. Fighting is a part of the NHL or professional hockey, even college hockey. But, I mean, what do the Americans think? When you have a Nimrod president like Trump who's attacking your country and trying to take it over, what do you expect Canadians to do? I mean, Canadians are nice, but they ain't that nice. But all right, I'm going to say that public disagreements are worse because, you know, sometimes public displays of affection are just entertaining. We'll come on back with a little bit more serious news. That's how we play What's Worse. Thanks along for everybody for playing along. It is the Todd Allball Show here on a Monday. Public displays of affection are one way to stay warm during these cold days of winter. Come on back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In Sometimes True Love Isn't Enough News, it appears Kanye West and his soulmate, Bianca Censori, are headed for divorce. The couple has been married a little over 2 years, which isn't too shabby by Hollywood standards. Yahoo Entertainment says things went from bad to worse after the Grammys stunt, where West instructed the love of his life to drop her coat and, quote, make a scene. Censori will receive a one-time payment of $5 million as a settlement. That's some serious scratch and should be enough to get her some new threads. Game of Thrones fans, there is another spinoff from the wildly popular HBO show headed your way. This is the third spinoff from GOT and will focus on the House of Targaryen. Another GOT spinoff, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, will hit the little screen later this year. According to Deadline, the franchise is more likely than not going to roll out several other spinoffs in the coming years. And why wouldn't they? We'll keep watching. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Sunny and brutally cold, with high temperatures today trying to reach the single digits and wind chills smacking us back, making us really feel about 20 degrees colder. And by tonight, it's going to be feeling about 30 below. And the frigid cold continues to have a grip on us through tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's zero at our studios.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max fakes the three, takes the three. Left side, yes, sir.
Play.
Pivots, fades, flips. Good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it. With the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. Streaming live on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, many Democrats wondering, what are our elected officials doing to push back? Representative Mark Pocan joins us. We'll ask. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show. The Civic Media Radio Network was looking at a couple of things. Lots going on here on a Monday. Getting back to work, back to school. Some places off of school today because this is serious stuff. So extremely cold weather in much of Wisconsin. So going to be lots of cold warnings out for tonight. Some places tomorrow morning could be 25, 30 below zero with wind chills. So be aware of that. Bundle up. Do not mess around because you'll find out. Our skin can freeze in a matter of seconds. Exposed skin. So be careful with that. I got to bundle up myself, Sam. Sam Davidson in for the Zomers, who is off today. We're going up, taking the show on the road later this week. We're going to be up at Hayward on Thursday and Friday to cover the American Burka Binder again.
Exciting.
It is. And Thursday, according to Darla, our station manager up there at WBZH, Buzz of the North in Hayward, our station there is right downtown, like a half a block from the actual finish line of the Burka Binder. So on Thursday, we'll be doing the show from outside. So I have to take out my Baxter State parka and all kinds of other gear.
Got to bundle up.
Yeah, we'll be right there at the racetrack on Thursday at the Burka Binder doing the show outside. And then on Friday, we'll be in the cozy studios of WBZH up there. So that'll be a good time had by all up there in Hayward. So, but be careful out there, everybody, due to the weather. 36 past the hour. One of our great listeners giving us some great info. Again, tomorrow, voting time to vote. It is primary, spring primary election day in Wisconsin. Big race for Department of Public Instruction. And yes, you need a photo ID, but here off of the website, the DOT website, an acceptable photo ID includes a Wisconsin Department of Transportation issued driver's license, even if your driving privileges have been revoked or suspended in Wisconsin. So as long as it's valid, as long as it hasn't expired, even if, say, you were caught, maybe, you know, not that this has ever happened to Todd, but maybe you were in a beautiful city like Green Bay and you forgot to pay a parking ticket and your plates were suspended or your license was suspended, you can still vote. You can still vote, as
that's
it turns
good.
Out. Yeah, so that's very good. Now, mine is fine, by the way, right now. Mine is fine. But so even if you have a suspended or revoked license, as long as it's valid, you can still use that. Your Wisconsin DOT-issued driver's license does not need to be a real ID compliant. Of course, that's the new thing now. Later on this year, if you want to use it to like go to Mexico or Canada, if they'll still let us in, you have to have to use it like as the ID to fly. Later on this year, you have to have a real ID, which you have to show your birth certificate and stuff to get that. But you do not need a real ID driver's license to vote tomorrow. You can just use a regular old Wisconsin driver's license as long as it's valid. So be aware of that. Before we get back to a couple of serious things, by the way, thanks for everybody who called in, texted in, and played What's Worse Today, Public Displays of Affection or Public Disagreement. That was a lot of fun, Sam. I enjoyed that immensely. Dave in New Berlin also said public disagreements are worse. I think that was kind of the general consensus, don't you? Len in Madison on MDX says such depends on the degree of escalation. Generally, I'd rather witness the public display of affection, but don't misunderstand me. Neither in escalation belongs in public. Tom in Jackson on WMDX says disagreements are worse. So there that was a lot of fun. We'll play more What's Worse tomorrow. All right, so I wanted to talk quickly about this because the Badgers, Wisconsin Badger basketball team, is on a roll. You can hear them tomorrow night on select Civic Media stations and on the Civic Media app as they take on Illinois at the Kohl Center tomorrow. But they had this big game in Purdue. Purdue was ranked number 7 going into this. Now the Badgers are ranked ahead of them after this big win at Purdue at Mackey Arena, a place the Badgers have not won often. Really tough place to play in college basketball. But in the first half, Kamari McGee, one of the great players of Wisconsin, he was following a ball, was guarding the guy, following the ball, and he got screened, basically. In my opinion, I think it should have been an illegal screen, and the officials called it that way. In other words, the defensive player for Purdue set up to block McGee or screen him. And McGee would just had his eye on the ball and following the ball. And all of a sudden he slams into this guy, slams into him. And the initial call was on Purdue. But then because McGee was kind of low on the floor following the ball, his arm, his elbow inadvertently hit the Purdue player in the netherly regions, as we say. And well, here's the call by Ian Eagle and Bill Rafferty on CBS. Here is the actual call from over the weekend.
So they've sent each team to their respective bench areas.
Nothing intentional here.
Whoa.
Again.
The foul was called on Kaufman Wren.
No, I know. That's why the crowd reacted, obviously. But here, I think they're seeing if there's any misgiving on where they were touched or hit. And this, again, is preparation. Go over the top. Don't let him get that opportunity to get a free look here.
No, he got him.
Yeah, he did.
No doubt.
I'll change your voice level a little.
So that's what the officials are looking at right now. But as mentioned, it was a foul on Kaufman Wren on the screen. McGee got tied up trying to stick with Smith.
A dribble handoff, Bird.
So anyway, they go on to analyze this. So Bill Rafferty, I mean, the great Bill Rafferty, who, you know, that'll change your voice a little bit. I'm sure very uncomfortable for the Purdue player, but there was nothing, if you watch that, there was nothing intentional about that on the part of Kamari McGee for the Badgers. And yet the officials on that play called a flagrant two foul, which means that McGee got ejected from the game for that. And Purdue got two shots plus the ball. And a lot of people thought, well, that was the end. But no, the Badgers went in at halftime and rallied and came back and won. After the game, Badger basketball posted a picture of Kamari McGee in the middle with all of his teammates around him and said, Kamari, we have you for life. It was great. I mean, this is a team building type of thing. Here was the John Tonji, by the way, the great transfer into Wisconsin from Missouri. Perhaps the best guy got in the portal in all of college basketball this year is being looked at as a national player of the year. Here was Wisconsin's John Tonji after the big win at Purdue with CBS's Bill Rafferty.
John, I think you took the first 8 minutes off, but you awakened pretty good.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to get to it. I prayed to God for courage today, and he gave me that, and I just wanted to come and get the win for my team.
What were some of the things said in the timeout? You were a little sluggish. All of a sudden, you started dribble driving and finding people.
Yeah, we were just trying to make a play, you know, for our teammates. I want to give a shout-out to all my guys, you know, from the top to bottom. And Kamari McGee got ejected, and, you know, that's my brother, and we wanted to get it. We told him in the locker room at halftime, we're going to get this win for you. And we came out here and competed, and I'm so proud of these guys for this.
The style of play seems to be right up your alley. Is that the case?
Oh, yeah. I love Wisconsin basketball, baby.
The dribble drive?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Congratulations. Great effort.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Tonji loves Wisconsin basketball. Let me tell you, Wisconsin basketball, Wisconsin fans love John Tonji. Really great player. Really excited for this team. Have a really good feeling about this team. Finally getting some national exposure. And Greg Gard, finally, now being talked about this year, guys on both ESPN's Game Day and CBS over the weekend saying that, Greg Gard should be considered in the running for National Coach of the Year. The Badgers were chosen by the media, the sports media, before the season started. They were chosen to finish the year tied for 12th. And right now, Wisconsin, I believe, now tied now with Michigan for fourth. Or not Michigan, Purdue for fourth. And they're within like two games. So it's Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, and Wisconsin in the top four right now in the Big Ten. And they're all like a game and a half between each other. Michigan and Michigan State have to play each other twice. The Badgers go to East Lansing yet. So it should be a fun season down the stretch here for Wisconsin basketball. You can hear the game tomorrow against Illinois tomorrow night on select Civic media stations. As Letterman likes to say, we hope that one of yours has been selected. Regardless, you can also hear it on the Civic media app. 44 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Want to turn a page and go back to week. We talked about this at the top of the program. that today is this national day of protest. We've been seeing people walk up and down State Street here in downtown Madison, peacefully protesting under the First Amendment, I might add, against this overreach by Trump and Musk against federal workers, against the American people, quite frankly, in my opinion. And here now, Michael Steele over the weekend on MSNBC talking about, as a former chairman of the Republican National Committee, his advice to Democratic elected officials in America.
You would really like the beginning of this piece where Ellie says that Democrats are like the varsity chess team being told it's their time to start the football game.
Right. That's so accurate.
So accurate.
What would you have us do?
I would actually, you know what? I'd just like you to show that you give a damn, that you got a little emotion about the fact that people are losing their jobs indiscriminately, that this individual sitting at down the 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue has given absolute power to one man who brings his son into the Oval Office, whose son says to him, "You're not the president. You shouldn't be in that chair." Now, where did he get that from? He got it from his daddy, because that's what his daddy thinks of the man who brought him into the Oval Office. So I just like to see somebody wake the hell up and get excited about the fact that your country is under assault. They're not at the gate anymore. They're in your bedrooms. They're in your living rooms. They're in your businesses. They got your data, dumbass. They got all your stuff. Elon Musk has his tentacles in everything you're doing, not just off of X, but now he's in the Treasury Department. He's in the Labor Department. He's in the Department of Homeland Security. And nobody seems to give a damn. So that's all I want, somebody to show that they care enough to get off their fat ass and say something about it.
But let's be honest, they're going to have to be Republican.
There you go. Michael Steele, former chairman of the Republican National Committee, putting it down there where the chickens can get at it. And quite frankly, I'm happy to hear him say that, because for those who disagree, like myself, what's going on in Washington right now, you can be depressed about it. You can be anxious about it, but get off your rear end and do something about it. We talked last week with Reed Galen. Join a club in your community. Start relationships. It doesn't have to be political. Probably shouldn't be political at first. Run for an office. Register to be a voter tomorrow. Attend peaceful protests like today to have a sense of community. Get out and do something about it. I just thought that was so very well said. We have time for this clip. This is Brooks. This is David Brooks, former conservative, on these purges that have been happening the last few days, much of which has been going under the radar.
Now, I wouldn't call it a crisis. I'd call it an institution of state failure. I've lived in Washington a long time. I have a lot of friends who serve in government in various locations. And some of them serve in national security, and they think about nuclear code. Some of them serve fighting sex trafficking. Some of them try to boost democracy in Africa. Some of them do biomedical research. And I can't tell you how many conversations I've had over the last week of people who are traumatized, who describe a reign of terror in their agencies. But not only that, a reign of incompetence. If you're around the nuclear codes, you take this stuff so seriously. And then you got a bunch of 23-year-old kids from Harvard coming in there, and nobody knows what information they have access to. Nobody knows what their background checks is. And so basically you see the sacred values of trying to be a good civil servant, you see that trampled. And so to me what's going on is not so much, it's an institutional failure. If you care about the future of government, you want a government that'll get you food stamps or renew your passport. But mostly it's a form of psychological intimidation that is sweeping through agency after agency and making a government that is, semi-functional.
David Brooks, longtime conservative on PBS NewsHour over the weekend. This is not a big government type of guy, but he makes the point, things like nuclear codes, passports, Medicare, that's not big government. That's the things we use each and every day in our lives. And Trump is putting fear into these institutions. Come on back. We'll wrap things up. Sam, Todd, Civic Media on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In September 2024, Arizona Secretary of State Adrian Fontes announced an error in state voter rolls involving 97,000 voters, revolving around a state DMV data error. The number has risen to nearly 200,000, and an easy fix still hasn't been found. In 1996, Arizona began requiring proof of citizenship when obtaining a driver's license. Since 2005, election officials have asked registered voters with licenses issued before 1996 for proof of citizenship. But if a driver's license issued before 1996 needed to be replaced, it was accidentally given a new date of issue, and election officials never knew to ask for citizenship documents. Vote Beat Arizona and the Arizona Mirror report that the investigation is ongoing, but that the number affected has now ballooned to 200,000 voters. The Arizona Supreme Court allowed affected voters to vote in November's election, but now the legislature is considering an emergency measure, House Bill 2038, directing election officials to contact the voters and request citizenship documents. If not supplied within 35 days, the voter's status would change to not registered, though voters could reactivate their registration by providing documentation right up to Election Day. After the 2026 general election, those voters would be dropped. We have text of the bill and Vote Beat's reporting linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me,
from civil rights to business,
food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is where I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Long down the road.
Kenny Chesney for you on a Monday, February 17th. Can't we all just get along? By the way, Kenny Chesney is going to do a residency out at the new Sphere in Vegas. So I'm petitioning Civic to send me out so I can do the show from the Sphere. Wouldn't that be fantastic? It's not going to happen, you understand, but wouldn't it be fantastic?
But we can always try.
We can always try. Great song, great artist, Kenny Chesney, get along. So here's what I asked Sam to dial that up, and thanks, Sam, for doing that. This National Day of Protest, I think it's a good day to talk about this. How many times in U.S. history have federal military troops been deployed on American streets against citizens? The answer, according to the website military.com, is 6. The Insurrection Act of 1807 and the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878 spell out 4 reasons for using U.S. troops on U.S. soil: natural disasters, terrorist attack, epidemic, and domestic violence. Now, we're not talking here about the use of National Guard troops to quell a civil unrest, all right? We're talking about active military. The United States Marines were used during the Civil War in New York City when people rioted in opposition to the first use of compulsory military service to wealthy people allowed to buy their way out of the draft. In Washington, D.C. during the Great Depression, soldiers with fixed bayonets marched in on World War I veterans seeking to collect a small pension that was promised to them. In Detroit, during 1967's long, hot summer, active military were used to end race riots in Detroit and again in Newark, New Jersey. Soldiers were used in Washington, D.C. in 1968 to quell rioting after the assassination of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And most recently, in 1992, Marines were used to end rioting that had begun when 4 white LA police officers were acquitted for assaulting black motorist Rodney King, despite a videotape showing the brutal beatings with batons. In 1992, Rodney King famously asked, quote, "Can't we all just get along?" unquote. In 2025, the question is, how many times will the military be used against citizens in the next few years? Conditions are ripe. A president with a revenge agenda, a secretary of defense with loyalty to a president above loyalty to the Constitution, petty, vindictive actions underway with intent to provoke civil unrest. Example, the Stonewall National Monument in New York City. The monument's website used the term LGBTQ+. The new administration has erased the TQ+. But let's back up. Stonewall in Greenwich Village was a well-known gathering place for gays and lesbians in the 1950s and 60s. New York police would regularly raid the bar, often using violence in arresting patrons. That was until June of 28, 1969, when patrons decided enough and fought back against 10 police officers. Violence continued on subsequent nights with increased numbers of both police and patrons. The Stonewall Uprising was formative for political organizing that became the Gay Liberation Movement. In 2016, President Barack Obama established the Stonewall National Monument, administered by the National Park Service. Last Friday, on Valentine's Day, protesters packed Christopher Park near the Stonewall Monument. The administration appears determined to provoke violence as a pretext to deploying the military against citizens. But the gay community, as it turns out, is not the Gulf of Mexico, and it will not be erased. Our friend Stuart Stevens, a former Republican and author of It Was All a Lie, posted this over the weekend. He said, quote, "When I see the sexual orientation hate come out of the Republican Party under the pretext of it just being anti-trans, I'm very tempted to name the Republican operatives and elected officials who are closeted gays. It is not a short list," unquote. Stuart Stevens. So, Sam, there's that. There's that.
So there's that.
So there's that. I just think it's good to be aware. And as a guy who's going to teach history to students, as our old friend Matt Flynn likes to say, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history.
That's right.
History can teach us a lot. So anyway, final thoughts there for a Monday. Sam, thank you very much for filling in for Zomers. We'll see if we can get him back to health. We were dispatching the civic media nurse, so that should be good.
Send some chicken soup out to him.
Yeah, make sure it's not any with H1N1 flu.
Yeah, exactly.
Stayed away from chicken for a little while and eggs. No, I'm just kidding. Well, we hope he feels better, but thank you in all seriousness for filling in today. Stay tuned. Our friend Maggie Dawn is next, and then Dom Salvia, followed by Pete Schwabba, another great edition of Nightlight. Thanks to all of you for being here. Tomorrow, it's Tuesday Tangents with a well-rested and tanned Luke Mathers. And much more. We'll preview tomorrow's spring, or talk more about the spring election, and also the governor's budget address tomorrow night. Todd Allball saying, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Northeast Wisconsin hip-hop artist and musician Matt Harper joins me in studio. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties invites all women to join us for the 13th annual Power of the Purse, Tuesday, March 12th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30. Power of the Purse is a fundraiser to support early grade literacy hosted by Women United. There will be a purse silent auction, raffles, and great food. All thanks to our diamond sponsors, Alliant Energy, Kinexus Cares, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Paul Gross Jewelers, Walker Cranberry, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit us at uwswac.org or call 715-421-0390. We hope to see you at Power of the Purse.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The aftermath of this weekend's flooding in Kentucky brings some welcome news from Governor Andy Beshear.
We believe we have reached many, if not most, people that got trapped because of the original water, because of the flash flooding, and have helped most people that have been infected by the rising river.
But Beshear says there are still trouble spots with people needing rescue. 11 people have died there. It's a different weather story in Texas. Governor Greg Abbott.
Extreme cold in north and northwest Texas should begin on Tuesday morning.
Colder in the northern plains, minus 18 in Minot, North Dakota. Low tonight there of minus 33. The U.S. and Russia will talk in Saudi Arabia about ending the war that Moscow started in Ukraine. BBC's James Waterhouse is in Kyiv.
The consequences of what we may see come out of Saudi Arabia will be deep and everlasting for Ukraine.
Ukraine is not happy about being shut out of the talks. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
James here, host